We're going to be reading from the Gospel of Mark today, and we're going to begin our reading in Mark chapter 14. You can find that in the Pew Bible on page 1450, or you can follow along on the screen as we project the reading. Mark chapter 14, reading from verse 43. Jesus has been praying in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he was arrested. He's been praying that the Lord God would take the cup of suffering from him, that there might be another way, yet not my will, but yours be done. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. And with him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Am I leading a rebellion, said Jesus, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. And when they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Many falsely testified about him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days will build another not made with hands. Yet even then their testimony did not agree. Then some stood up and gave, then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses, he asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, Prophesy! And the guards took him and beat him. We continue reading in Mark chapter 14 of the denial of one of Jesus' friends, who had been following him for 3 years. Peter is his name. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, This fellow is one of them. Again he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me 3 times. and he broke down and wept. We read in Mark's Gospel, now chapter 15, of the trial that Jesus experienced before Pontius Pilate. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things, so again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. When they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. The whole of the story of Easter that we are reading this morning speaks of the love of the Father who sent Jesus into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Final reading from Mark's Gospel this morning speaks to us of the crucifixion and death of Jesus upon the cross. Mark 15 from verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and the other on his left. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. Final reading this morning comes from the Old Testament now, and we turn to the book of Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, who came and spoke many years before Jesus came, but he spoke of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. And for the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great. And he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. But he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of God. Good Friday is a strange day, is it not? To borrow words from Charles Dickens, was the best of times and the worst of times, was the season of light and the season of darkness, was the spring of hope and the winter of despair. If you're a guest with us today, it may seem strange that we as Christians would come together and celebrate a day of injustice. So we've read about this morning a secret trial in the dead of night, where a man falsely accused is condemned to death, even though he has done nothing wrong, not one thing. A story of jealousy and revenge from the Jewish leaders. A story of cowardice and weakness by those who should have stood up for the innocent, like Pilate. And yet on this day of injustice, this fateful day, we believe that one of the greatest things that has ever happened in the history of the world took place. And that's what we're going to reflect on this morning as we think about the Lamb of God that we've just read about here in the prophecy of Isaiah. And the first theme we see in the passage that we've read is the suffering of the Lamb. The suffering of the Lamb. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him. Nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. In fact, you couldn't even recognize that Jesus was a man, in effect, after the torture that He endured upon that day. And so He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain. Hardly the sort of person we would expect God to send to be a Savior, to deliver us, to save us. But no, He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, our wrongdoing. And we ask this morning, why? Why did this happen? Why did Jesus, why did the Lamb of God suffer? Well, it wasn't because He was being punished for something He'd done that was wrong. Jesus never did anything wrong. When Pilate, the judge in the story, asked the baying crowd for accusations, for evidence against Him, what He had done wrong, He heard nothing. There was no evidence, and so He washed His hands. The blood of an innocent man. Friends, the Lamb didn't suffer because He had done wrong. Now, the message of Isaiah 53 is that Jesus, the Lamb of God, suffered because of our wrong. My wrongs, your wrongs, the choices that we have made from birth right until now, right until the present, to live life our own way. The ways in which we have shut God out of our lives. We've done things that we knew at the time even weren't right. He suffered and died because of the willful choices that we have made to reject God, our Creator, who made us and who loves us. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And so the Lamb suffered. And the Lamb suffered in silence. Despite the physical agony that Jesus endured, despite the spiritual anguish, He experienced life without the closeness of His Father. He was oppressed and afflicted. Yet He did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He did not open His mouth. How could this be? If you had been in Jesus' shoes, on trial before a judge on trumped up charges, wouldn't you have been making as loud a noise as possible? You'd have got your phone out and you'd have started broadcasting live on Facebook, and you would have hoped that the clip would go viral so that everyone could see this injustice that was going on and it would be put to an end. Hoping, begging, pleading for someone to save you, to deliver you? Wouldn't you have pleaded your case as earnestly as you knew how, or hired a hotshot defense lawyer to come up and state your case and be sure that you received justice? The chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they're accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply. And Pilate was amazed. Sheep goes out to run into the shed, and it doesn't know if it's going to be shorn or if it's going to have its throat cut. The sheep is perhaps ignorant of what's going to happen. It doesn't comprehend. It's silent. And Jesus, here in our story today, Jesus, the Lamb of God, is also silent. But the difference is this: Jesus knows full well what is going on. He knows that when these events take their course, he will end up upon the cross. So Jesus was not caught out that day. He knew the prophecy of Isaiah. He knew that it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And so his silence that we read about today, the silence of the Lamb, isn't a silence of ignorance. It's not a silence of ignorance. It's a silence of voluntary submission. If there had been another way, any other way, Jesus would have taken it. But there was no other way. So he silently, voluntarily submitted himself to what was going to happen. And so there are wicked hands at play in the story, but also a willing victim. If you've read The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, you'll remember a scene that pictures this very well. When Aslan, the lion figure, the lion, chooses not to resist when being bound, even though he had all power from on high. But he submitted to the forces of darkness in that story, because only through darkness would the light triumph. Now it's true that we have recorded for us some of the things that Jesus did speak on the cross. His silence, the silence of the Lamb, doesn't mean that he didn't speak at all. But he opens his mouth not to curse, not to protest what is happening to him. But he speaks words of promise and of hope to the criminal on the cross, crucified beside him. He speaks words of comfort to his mother at the foot of the cross, watching her son be put to death. He speaks words of forgiveness to those who were cruelly torturing him. "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." But the Lamb suffers in silence. He suffers in silence because he knew that his suffering and his silence would triumph in the salvation of the Lamb. See, the death of Jesus was not the end of the story. It is not the end of the story. It was not failure. It was, in fact, mission accomplished. And moments before Jesus died, he cried out in a loud voice. What did he say? He said, "It is finished." Jesus didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." What is the "it"? It is this: the work of salvation. For the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus, the Lamb of God, took our place. He was a substitute. He bore the punishment that we deserved, so that the price for sin could be paid, not by us. We couldn't afford the price. Paid by Jesus, the Lamb of God, who suffered. So we opened our service with this morning in the words of John, so that Jesus might be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Isaiah doesn't speak openly to us of the resurrection that was to follow Jesus' death, that on the third day he would rise again from the dead, triumphant over the grave. And yet the thought is not entirely absent either. For Isaiah says this. He says, after he has suffered, see, he lives on. He lives on after death. After he has suffered, things happen. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Because Jesus bore our iniquities, the wrongs that we have done, we need not bear it ourselves. Rather, Jesus will justify many. That means that when we believe in Jesus, when we identify ourselves with Jesus, when we find our refuge, our rock of ages in whom we find refuge in him, God pardons us. God frees our conscience. God welcomes us into his family. Friends, you may have heard much about Jesus over the years. And it's possible that you have heard much about Jesus over the years and never quite grasped or grappled with or understood the significance of what he accomplished on Good Friday. Or it could be that you have heard of what Jesus did on this day, but you've never taken hold of that truth and made it your own. Do so today, that you might call this day with us Good Friday. This day may have appeared to be the worst of times, but it was in fact the best of times. It may have seemed to be like a season of darkness, just as darkness surrounded the cross as Jesus hung there and died, but it was in fact a season of light and life. What looked to be the winter of despair turned out to be a season of hope. And so even as we remember the suffering and the silence of the Lamb of God this day, that it was our sins that nailed him to the tree, even on a day like this, we can rejoice. And we can rejoice because of what the Lamb of God accomplished for us. So rejoice. Amen. Let's pray.